Welcome to Star Trek Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us by TalkCast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, call ID 17702. Obviously, if you're out of the country, there's actually other phone numbers that you can also call in on. Just go to the TalkShoe website and you find multiple from South Africa to Canada to all over the world. Also, if you want to participate on the web, just go to the TalkShoe website, the www.talkshoe.com, search for Quality 17702. And of course, if you want to, you can join us live on Twitch at twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, because I'm co-broadcast it over there, and I keep an eye on that lovely chat room, which is Twitch. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, feel free. My account there is sfuoncall. And of course, I have a personal account now. If you want to follow that, that's a reminder that I'm proud of being Catholic, an O's fan, and Lord knows, suffering O's fan. And also, of course, I love tech. So if you don't like any of those things, they bother you, then don't follow me. And of course, I have my Franz Games account, which is for my business. So if you want to keep an eye on what's going on with Starfleet Warlord, what's going on with SFB Online, please follow me there. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. They have shipped the Klingon ship card pack number 5, which is available in the Warehouse 23 drive-through RPG and War King Vault. I'm pretty sure that's correct. And of course, I think they also have the actual physical cards. Now, what that includes is the C9 Dreadnought, the D7C Battlecruiser, the D5G Commando Cruiser, the HF5 Heavy War Destroyer, the E3 Corvette, the D6K Heavy Cruiser, D70, D60, and D50 Mission Cruisers, whatever those are. It's like, what are those? That's weird. And, of course, the E40 Mission Frigate. So if you're interested in any of those cards, then definitely buy that pack. I forget. Moving onward to the tournament. Of course, we have the Masters Tournament. Two games are confirmed to be completed. There might be some more, but I not see anything that has been posted. Moving on to the FedCom library progress, we got all the way up to 528 squadron size ships are now done, and now we have a fleet size ships. We have 422 of those. So if you want, so the fleets that are available are coming larger and larger all the time. So if you want to play a fight Federation Commander and you want to have access to a lot of the ships, come and join us. And with that is the news for this week. Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz. And you are you. And tonight, we've got, well, just me. Yeah. I'm kind of off tonight. I'm sorry. But anyhow, even if I am off tonight, when it comes to this lovely, lovely TalkCast podcast stream, man. This is really whacked. I'm not sure what's going on. Okay. Anyhow, I think I'm going to be by myself tonight. I'm not sure why that is, but okay. That is fine. Maybe it's Thursday, right? Yeah, it's Thursday. I had to add the question because I'm seeing no one in, somebody in the chat room. I still see it. I don't see no normal Dave. My guess is maybe it's just because I started for if I say change in pace, I actually started on time. What a concept. You know, I understand that I always tell you that I'm going to start late, and then at that point, you know, you can wait for me and I'll be here. I'll be there. But, you know, fortunately, actually, I was running on time for a change, which is weird. But anyhow, now, sorry, I keep checking to see if Barry showed up, because Barry wasn't quite sure if he was going to make it or not. He was going to try to cross the Canadian border, and, you know, unfortunately, he didn't have his test all in. Didn't get his test results, which is what is required to enter the country. So he wasn't sure what was going to happen, but he still was going to try. Because the question then would be, could he get into the country and then he have to be isolated for a couple of days while waiting for the test results to come back, or what? But anyhow, so Dave actually did. Okay, good. Thanks, Dave. Dave actually is here. Yay! He just showed up a little later than normal. That's just weird. It's like, okay, I show up and start on time for a change, and now Dave shows up and he's late for a change. For all I know, he might have been there the whole time and just not sitting at the, because usually he's there way early, you know, because I'll start the stream like 25 after on TalkShoe just to make sure things are going correctly for TalkShoe, because sometimes it's kind of whacked. Patriots 25, Eagles 0. Yeek. Third quarter. Just for those of you, it's that time of year again. It's the reminder. But in any case, since Barry is definitely not, looks like he's not going to be here. Okay, I don't see Gary. Okay, let me see if I can do this. No, I don't stream on YouTube. I used to stream on YouTube, and then they changed it. So it made it, I couldn't figure out how to stream on YouTube. You know, originally that's all I did. And then they kind of screwed things up, because basically what they used to have is YouTube used to use Hangouts. Then they dropped support for Hangouts on YouTube, and I forgot what they had. There's something weird I have to do. I tried to use OBS to stream through to YouTube, and it didn't work either. So maybe one of these days I'll get back to, maybe I'll co-stream with Twitch and YouTube. Because now the obvious thing is going to be that, you know, there's only so many chat rooms I can keep an eye on. And if I do that, I'll probably just pay attention to the one in TalkShoe and the one in Twitch. So change just a tiny bit. Okay. Because Chris is here. Hey, how you doing? So since Barry's not here, well, actually, I'm going to talk about kind of part of what I've been doing. Like I did like all last weekend. Which was because I got really excited and I feel like, you know, I should go forward with this. So I started actually implementing text-based SAP, at least starting it, you know, the beginning part, you know, just basically the simple command line and start, you know, implement just the processing of commands and how that needs to be structured, you know, in the comes to the programming I'm using, which I'm currently using Kotlin, which actually that is interesting by itself, because of that lends itself to some other possibilities, which I might discuss tonight. Anyway, I hate the idea of discussing some of the ideas I have, because invariably sometimes those ideas just kind of fade out and fizzle, and then it just dies. And I, so, No, actually, Chris, I'm not developing for Android. I'm actually developing desktop, you know, in, you know, a normal command line application at the moment. That's going to change. But yeah, I know Kotlin's used a lot for Android development. But while I'm using Kotlin at the moment, the main reason was because I'm interested in learning Kotlin. So what do? You write a program you have a project that you have in mind that you want to do it for. So that the whole idea of that when it comes to programming projects, at least for me, is that if you face issues, you run into roadblocks, you've got a reason to push through the roadblocks, find out what you need to find out, and push through, learn, and continue the learning process for that language. So in this case, it's text-based SFB. Now, for any of you out there who actually looked either at the tweet or looked at the website, I'm not sure there are many, and don't mind me. Let me check something. Just curious. Okay, that's weird. Huh. Minor issue. Okay, well, I think I got battery charge right now. My iPad is like 50%, and that's what I'm using for as kind of my monitor. But anyway, for knowing what my video feed looks like. But anyhow, so writing in Kotlin, and as the one thing, Chris, that Kotlin allows you to do, which is, it's not just Android. You also, there is a Kotlin for JavaScript. So it can convert Kotlin from Kotlin to JavaScript itself, and then you can actually incorporate that in a web browser, which is one of the things that I wanted to interesting. Get back to what the topic for tonight that I posted both on the website and on Twitter, which is what I call SFB interactive fiction. Because that's one thing that kept me going. You know, it got me a little excited because I thought about some of the possibilities. Because this is basic. I haven't even got much implemented except for a simple, you know, I took, I just want to bring this up, which is, you know, I did this, forgot to add it. These are the commands that I added. A couple more, you know, the add and the remove. At the very least, what I was planning on doing in theory it'd be prime directive, but it's not quite that. It's not going to be RPG. Wow. Patriots are beating the Eagles 32-0. Dang, man. Fortunately, I'm not an Eagles fan. Now, if it was Ravens, I'd be more upset about that, that they're losing that badly. But anyhow, the great thing about it, I started doing the simple structure, which is, okay, here is a command. Let's take the command. Let's parse it all out. How can be parsed out? You know, in this case, I simple parser, which is either, it's either when it comes to the unit name or whatever the parameter is, it's either a single word, you know, separated by, you know, the word I, it's a number of letters and characters, which are separated by spaces. So, you know, it's kind of a word. Or it's a quoted, it's quoted. In which case, as in case, you know, you want a unit name, which you call, you know, this is a test. You know, it has spaces in it, you know, and that could be your unit name. And the interface would support that. And so that's what I was doing, is just having so it's simple, you know, some what I call tokenization. And so it can go through the command line and get each token as it goes along, and then it will compare to make sure and check to make sure that it is valid. If it's not valid, then it'll say, hey, it's not valid. So I've gotten to that point. I have not gotten to actually where this actually does anything. But no, the only thing I've actually implemented, which is something which I actually didn't write down here. Actually, let me see if I can write down real quick. Let's see. There, write it down. That's for just for the people who want the video. You can see that, which is I'll tell you, which is the help command, which I think is a good thing. The idea is you just type help, it'll list out all of the commands. It'll list out, okay, how to use help. And then what I wanted to do is actually list out all the commands. Now, I got to still go through and fully implement that part of it. But currently, I have it so that you can say help, give it a command like remove, add, or whatever, and then it will spit out what the syntax is for that command. Obviously, overall, what you actually want a help command to do is not just list out, okay, this is the syntax, but you want it to tell you what it does. So, you know, that's a simple part. You know, obviously, this is a big project. It'll take a long time to implement. But I thought about this more. And one thing that I started picturing in my mind is something along the line of almost what I would say classic interactive fiction. I think that's the best way to describe it. I'm remembering the old DOS days where you had, you know, interactive fiction where it was mostly text. But one of the things that part of that is you can actually have images you could show. So what I'm thinking about doing, and this currently, I'm less worrying about the UI, like Infocom. Yeah, exactly. Well, Infocom was the makers of Zork. And that is to have a chat room kind of thing, quote unquote. That's what it looks like, because it's old text based. So you type something in, it would then pop up in that output to that window, and then something might happen. Now, in addition to that, the way I pictured it was you got the chat room here, off to the upper right hand corner, you've got an image or a room for an image. There's many possibilities the way I can imagine it. For example, currently it's not here, but I can imagine you could say, type in like display map, and that upper part of the screen will become the map. Say display locations, and it will, instead of location, the idea of locations is just, it will spit out. Yes, Chris, I've actually heard of Twine. And the issue I have with Twine is that it's completely web-based. Currently, Twine is not designed to be interactive. It's designed, I've not looked at Twine for multiple years, because actually, where is it? Da-da-da. No, that's not it. Ah, there it is. I'll be right back. Okay. Now, this is what I got many, many moons ago. And Let me see, when does this, what's the copyright for this thing? Okay, real quick. It's created by Q. And the copyright for this is 2016. So this book is 5 years old. So I've not looked at it since. Now, from what I remember from playing around with Twine was that it was an interactive, it's ready for writing interactive fiction. But let me put this over here. The big issue that I find with Twine is that it's not smart. In other words, if I wanted to have it so an interactive fiction actually allowed you to play SFB, it could not do that. Or even have a combat. It couldn't do that. In that. And Twine, to be honest, I don't know how what you're supposed to do with it. In that, last time I played with it, Twine does not save on the server. It's saved in your, you save everything in your browser as like a cookie or by local storage within your browser. So, and then you can build up things within your browser. And if you want to, you can export it and then later if you want to, you can import it and so forth. You can do that. But it's not designed to post up on a website and have it so other people can use it. It's not meant to be a multi-user application. So, in the case of what I'm thinking about, at least at the moment, I'm just thinking about a single-person application. Now, I'll be happy to look at Twinery again. Because of, as I said, it's been 5 years. I'm not sure what they've been doing in the past 5 years. In fact, I even listened to a podcast on open source projects called Floss Weekly. It's on the Twit network. And I was actually listening, they happened to have Twinery on it. Unfortunately, it was one of those ones like, curse you. I had to be, I was up and running around town, running around during lunch for that one. So I wasn't able to actually sit down and listen to it and interact and actually get an IRC channel and ask questions. But the one thing I definitely, as I said, I noticed it's not meant to be multi-user, at least at that point. I will check. But if Twinery has developed it so that it's a JavaScript framework that I can tie into, I'm all for it, because then I can actually, what I'm talking about can actually be, I can use that framework for doing what I want to do. Because my understanding, last time I checked with Twinery, is that you could add rooms and have to go from room to room, and then you could actually have the interactions between each one of those, and you could have choices of what you wanted to do. And from those choices, you can actually have it go to a different room and things like that. So it was a real basic interactive fiction. That's not what I'm looking for. See, I'm looking for something along the lines of more of a Zork adventure, as in text-based. You enter text. You don't, no clicking, clicky, clicky. When given that part of the game will be a tactical simulation, still in the tactical simulation, the whole idea would be move, fire, launch, scan, all this stuff. It would be text, the whole UI is text-based. You don't click and drag. If you want to move something, you have to type in a command. Now, there are some other things that I've thought of doing when it comes to it, but I don't see me focusing on that at the beginning. That is one idea I have, and now with this one I'm kind of going on, which is the whole idea of building these up, have the ability to define a set of to find a set of steps that can be have an automated execution. You basically can write functions or macros or whatever you want to call it, all it's the same, and have it so that these steps can be, you can just execute like this macro name, and it'll execute all those steps. So I thought about that idea. I'm not too excited at this point in time. I'm not too excited about. The reason I'm not too excited about is because basically I was thinking about it in the context of SFB Online. And then I thought about it some more. And in theory, I could do it. But I just really was not that excited about adding it on to SFB Online. You know? Just adding just one more thing, you know. Maybe because this would be the first, if I actually finish this, it'll be the first game that's mine. You know, so I think maybe that's part of what excites me about doing what I call interactive fiction. Because, okay, let's go back, and that is that interactive fiction is a very broad category, very, very, very broad. Actually, I've done a bit of research on interactive fiction, and there have been contests and things like that when it comes to writing interactive fiction, because there's multiple ways of doing interactive fiction. One of those ways of doing interactive fiction is just that. Interactive fiction. Purely as a way of telling a story in a non-linear fashion. You know, basically, the whole idea is that you discover the story as you go through this environment, through this world. As you explore this world, you find out more about the story of the characters of this world. You know? Which I think it's a fascinating way of doing it. Now, obviously, the one thing that with that is that most people like linear storytelling. That's what they're used to. That's what we grew up on. That's what movies tell you. You know, that's how movies work, is completely linear. You know, because that's actually, it reminds me, that's one of those promises, one of the promises for like VR, is the whole idea is that you can explore the world that these characters live in. Now, in my mind, you can do certain things in VR to actually help tell the story. I think I talked about this a little before, and one of the things that you can do with VR, like in the case of, you want to make sure someone sees something happening over to your right. There's two ways of doing that. One, assuming you have the 3D ears, 3D sounds. So the whole idea is that you hear a sound coming from that direction. What is your normal inclination? Normal inclination is to turn your head in the direction of the sound. What was that sound? So you turn your head. Another, it's obviously, if now this is tougher for VR, and that is have something pass your vision over here. The whole out of the corner of your eye kind of thing that allows you to, you know, it's something like, what was that? You know, you saw something, but you didn't see something. You know, so you turn and you say, you know, was that my imagination, or just did I actually see something? So that's ways that in VR you can direct the people in a VR environment which direction to look. While in interactive fiction, you still have a minor role. Because it's more like walking into a room using a 360 camera, and so you're seeing the whole surroundings. You're seeing everything in that environment, because invariably you're going to describe what's in that room. If you go to a different location, you have to describe the location. Now, in theory, you can have the whole idea that you get into a room, into a location, you're facing a certain direction, and they only describe what you see when you get there. But if you can say, well, turn left and you look to the left, then that might tell you something more. Or turn right and you can tell you something more. But that, you know, obviously that has to be developed in. That's one genre of interactive fiction. There's another genre of interactive fiction, which is basically, it is the puzzle game. And that is, you explore this world. And by exploring this world, you perform certain tasks that lead you to figure out, you're brought in, they say, okay, we don't know what happened. Like in the case of, let's say, it's a simple mystery. You go into this world, and you then talk to the different characters. And you find out, okay, what do they know and so forth. And you basically, interactive fiction can be a puzzle game. That's another way of doing it. You know, so there, that's just two examples of interactive fiction. In the case of what I'm thinking of when it comes, I call this interactive fiction because that's what it is. But I originally thought it could be completely just a way of a new and interesting way of actually having a user interface, a way of interacting with things instead of the same old, what everyone expects today, which is mouse click, drag, you know, possibly use the keyboard to do commands and so forth, move your ships around the board and all that kind of thing. And it's like, okay, that's fine. That's a completely and utterly valid way of doing a display. You know, to do a UI. Completely. Now, it reminds me of a game which I really enjoyed, I didn't work on it as much as I probably should have as a game. And unfortunately, now that I've upgraded my Mac, it doesn't work anymore, which is a game called Duskers, which is interesting. I think it was a video of the developer. And they wanted to have something that was, you know, You have a command line, and you have that command line to control these robots, which then you go walking around the ship, and then you have to, the idea is that you're gathering up this, you're trying to find out what happened to, you know, these, all these ships are derelict. What happened? You know, so, and part of Duskers is investigating those ships and so in some case, scavenging from those ships. You know, whether it's another robot or it is information about that ship, you know, things like that. And I think that, you know, he wanted it to completely be, I think my understanding is they wanted it to completely be text-based, you know, what I'm talking about. But I realized, you know, that some people wouldn't really be into that because of, they still want to have direct control over the robots, you know, as they move around the ship. And, you know, I kind of like that idea. But also, the game you produce is more of an interactive game to begin with. You have animation and all that kind of thing. And I wasn't thinking of animation at all. As when I originally thought of the concept, I just wanted it to be like SFB that you just had a different UI for. You know, instead of, because, big surprise, I suck at UI development, as I mentioned in the past. And I feel like if I just go with text-based, well, I don't have to worry about the UI all that much, do I? I just have to make sure that you got the information that is needed, that's presented. So, given that, I figured the text-based interface would be great. But then I thought about it. One thing that I got excited about is the whole idea that you're in this tactical environment. But one thing is that when you're in this tactical environment, in theory, you're a captain. Let's say you're captain of a single ship. You know, because some of this stuff, what I might do, you know, if I go that approach, I might go, okay, let's get rid of this. There's no longer a unit name. The unit name you're always talking about, because the whole idea of this was that you had multiple ships. Now, in theory, I can have it so that it gets rid of all of this, you know, all the unit names of what you're going to be doing the action for, and just say, you know, since you only have a single ship, you just... You say fire, you say the weapon, and you say what the unit you're firing it at. Simplifies things, you know, that's great. But the whole idea of this, you know, I got the idea of, you know, you are a captain on a ship that, you know, and one thing that you might do is you send a message to another ship. I went, that'd be interesting. You know, the whole idea of, you know, send message, you know, message unit, you know, unit name, and then you send a string. And then based on what you say to that unit, the captain on that, you know, whoever's, you know, control of that ship, the idea is the captain of another ship, he will respond with some other text. And it becomes interactive at that point. You know, it's like, okay, can you, you know, possibly, maybe, you can send messages back and forth, and you can, like, ask him to surrender, and he says no, and he fires at you, that you basically, you've dishonored him, like a Klingon might, you know, have something, you know, ask, you know, say, surrender, and they say, never, and the answer is that he fires at you. You know, so obviously, nope, that the answer to your question is no, he will not surrender. So, things that, you know, I thought about that, and that's what, you know, that got me excited about the possibilities of using this in a more interactive fiction format. Because in that case, what you could do is you send a message to him, and if he sends a reply, part of that reply might be, as part of the text that comes back, it says something like, the Klingon reply, you know, the other captain replies with this message, and then you see, and he shows up on your view screen, and then it shows a picture of what's on your view screen. You know, so that you have an idea. Okay, if you can recognize what race a person is, then you know what kind of case, you know, what's a Klingon or a Tholian or a Gorn or whatever, and you see that, you know, that you know, okay, what you're dealing with, and you can, and possibly you'll have it so that if this becomes an interactive fiction, then you are playing a certain captain, you're playing a Gorn, you're playing a person from the United Federation of Planets, you're you know, whether it can be human or in theory Orion, or Vulcan, or, you know, you can be all these different races which are part of the different empires. That'd be an interesting question. That's one thing I would have to probably do if I was to get into the interactive fiction, is that I might want to basically get GURPS, so that I could have some background material on these, and so that if I was going to interact with characters, then I have an idea of what each race, how they would react, you know, and of course, different empires and so forth. And, you know, you'd have it so that you run through this tactical situation. Now, and depending upon how you handle the tactical situation, you can, what might happen? The question is, when the tactical situation ends, I'm thinking about if this goes the interactive fiction route, what happens next? Is the game over? Or basically, is it more of, okay, you have defeated your enemy. Or you just shot up a freighter maybe you're playing an Orion and you shot up a freighter, in which case also that'd be very bad anyway. And you continue on. In the case of this, an Orion actually makes it relatively simple because you can actually do a campaign. It's like, okay, you go on. Or you can be like a Klingon who is a raider which raiding around the Klingon Federation border, you know, and you go through that, and you have the different interactions with freighter captains. You know, it's like, have said, if they want to, they can surrender. You know, and if they surrender, then okay, what happens then? You know, thing, and you can have idea is that you might actually have more interactions about. And actually start telling a story as part of this. You know, so it's not just a simple game where you're fighting, and then through that fight that tells a story. That the whole idea, yes, that is part of it. Because that would be part, because like anything that happens within a game, it tells a story. What is the story it's telling? Or what's the story that it's trying to... Well, it basically enables you to tell. If you want... it's one thing I learned from listening to Three Moves Ahead. Three Moves Ahead, this is... That's... Don't get me. I really like them. I like the podcast a lot. I listen to every single episode because I get some great ideas from them. You know, whether it is ideas about what to add to SLP Online, things that I'm missing, whether it is something simple like the whole idea of story arc. Iggy, it's Three Moves Ahead. Look up for Three Moves Ahead podcast, and you should find it. Three Moves Ahead podcast from the Idle Thumbs Network. This is the one. I've not listened to this one yet. This one actually was interesting. I'm just going to mention this. I'll chase down this episode. I'll mention this for a moment, which is the one thing they mentioned about Slipways. It's basically a logistics game, and the one thing that they found fascinating about it was that it was. One of those concepts when it comes to designing a app is what's called least viable product. The idea is to boil it down, boil it down, boil it down. Remove every single feature that you can remove that is not core to what makes the app the app. And that's what they did with Slipways. Actually, did they have it, did they say it here? Yes, there it is. Discuss an indie space 4X without 2.5 of the X's. Because of, there's no combat. It's all about logistics and setting up a logistics network to produce, you know, putting together different resources so you can build other things, and things like that. And the normal game has a time limit on it. I forget what the goal is. I forget if they mention it or not. But basically, the idea that was, the reason why I want to bring it up is because it's a very simple product. And that's kind of what I'm going for here. Let's simplify things down. Heck, you know, the one thing about all of this, you know, if I broadened it out to be less about purely a tactical game, you know, implementing the SFB or FedCom or even Star Armada, whatever. And that's just, that is an aspect to it that, you know, still implements the, still, you still have the different kind of weapons that you have. They have available to you. You can still fire and it still does damage, still has, invokes the whole feeling of SFB, you know, damage allocation, shields, things like that. So it still can be played as a tactical game. It's still, the tactical portion is still a part of it. But it's not the only thing that's part of it. For example, if you, let's say that, you know, you fire it at your at the enemy, and then as part of that interaction, you know, you send them a message. You know, either taunting him or taunting him or encouraging him or say, you know, fire and say, you know, if you don't fire back, you know, I'll consider that a surrender. Or, you know, at that point, you'll, when you've damaged him enough, you say, ask him, do you surrender? And, you know, and then he might reply, and then in case you don't have to completely finish him off, you know, things like that, where it becomes more of an interactive play system, you know. So I like the idea, especially the idea of make it into a kind of like a Zork kind of interactive fiction kind of thing to a degree. You know, obviously we're not gonna be going around a dungeon like Zork, but we're gonna go around the galaxy in a starship. You know, whether it's a destroyer or a cruiser or whatever. But, you know, that's going to be your vehicle for going from point A to point B. You know, you might have to, you know, the tough part might be, okay, you're really damaged up. Okay, now you got to find yourself a star base or make it to the star base, you know. And you have to go through, like, these sectors, you know. And you hope that you can make it to the star base before someone else attacks you and you get destroyed, you know. And to me, that's another element that tells another part of the story. You know, that becomes part of the story, which is, you know, I was beat up after my last encounter with the Klingons, so I need to head back to the starbase and to, you know, to dock and get some repairs. And on my way to the starbase, I ran into an Orion which was attacking a freighter. And I couldn't let that happen, you know. And even though you're all beat up, you decided to attack this Orion, or you try to call for help, you know, and you hope that someone arrives in time to help this freighter, you know. Or you might say you call for help, and they say, well, we don't have anyone in your sector, you know, so we have no way of helping them, you know. We have no way to send help for you to help them. You know, and things like that. You know, things that can get into a story. It doesn't have to be full-fledged, you know, as Chris mentioned, you know, prime directive. But, you know, obviously, it could actually use some of the background material from prime directive to form the characters, to know how those characters would react. Give a feeling for what does it mean to be this race? Is honor everything? Is it just surviving? You know, if it was just surviving, then it wouldn't be a good captain. Well, it depends upon the captain, I guess. as the saying goes, the idea of being a soldier being a good soldier is having the other your enemy soldier die for his country, not you. I'm sure I'm quoting it wrong, but you get the idea. So I think with that, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to make it a short evening. I'm just going to do one quick check before. Yep. Okay. Just double checking. And that is that there's no one else around. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.